Welcome back. It's Accountability Friday on the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman, your accountability blogger from bradblog.com, drafted into broadcast media duty here tonight. Bradcasting live from Los Angeles, actually downtown Burbank, as the sun sets and the fog rolls in. I think we're getting some weather here, Desi Doyen. You're not plugged in yet, are you? You got something in your mouth. You're not ready. What the... All right, Desi Doyen, my accountability buddy, is going to join me in a second as a little South Park joke for you. Desi Doyen is actually my co-host on the Green News Report. For those of you who either read bradblog.com or listen to the Green News Report on this fine progressive radio station, may know her. If you don't, if you haven't heard the Green News Report, then... I say call your radio station and complain. Tell them you want to hear it. 6 minutes. We do it a couple of times a week. And we started doing it for the folks up there in San Francisco at Green 960, and they play at the top of the hour a couple of times a week. And yesterday's report, actually, there's a couple of things that you still have something in your mouth?
What? It was a cough drop. Come on.
Okay. Are you done now?
Yes.
Can you talk now?
Yes.
All right. By the way, stop on my Brad blog. We got a chat room over there, and Desi's been moderating it, but she's gone now. So you can say anything you want because she's on the air. Okay. Well, listen, we're very serious situation still out there in West Virginia at this coal mine disaster. And we're going to talk in a little bit with Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio Network about that. He's out in West Virginia. But no change in the status for the moment. Four miners are still.
And sadly, it looks like Governor Joe Manchin, the West Virginia governor, he came out in a press briefing tonight and said that it looks like they are going to come to a conclusion in the rescue attempt for those four West Virginia miners. He basically said that he called it finality, that the crews are prepared to try to make a run to the face. This is according to the AP, trying to make a run to the face to see if the miners are in the last refuge chamber.
All right. Well, let me hold the we'll come back to that story in a minute. Let's set this up with this is the Green News Report from yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and play this. There's also a couple of other issues here, some global warming denial crazies. Let's play the Green News Report, and then we'll come back, get your get the latest on West Virginia and all that's right ahead. Go ahead. Let's run Green News Report from yesterday.
A setback in the search for missing miners, and who's to blame?
Corporate profits, I recognize, have to be made, but more importantly, our most precious resource, our coal miner, needs to be protected.
Plus, record snow, record heat, record rain, record landslides.
All of those records and much more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Democrats in America were put on earth to do one thing: drag the ignorant hillbilly half of this country into the next century, which in their case is the 19th.
Good point, Bill Maher. But who's going to drag the Democrats into the 20th century? Never mind the 21st. This is your Green News Report. Green News Report is sponsored by you, our listeners. Yes, you. Please stop by our website, greennews.bradblog.com, and hit that PayPal button so that we can afford to continue bringing you the most feisty green news, politics, and analysis you'll find on the mainstream media. We rely on your support. Stop by bradblog.com today, hit the PayPal button, and send your vote for the Green News Report to continue. Okay, Des, troubling news continues out of West Virginia. What do you have for us today?
Yes, it's a devastating setback today on the search for four missing miners at the Upper Big Branch Mine near Montcoal, West Virginia. Here's West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin at a press briefing.
The scenarios that we were dealing with is of the quality of the air since this morning, since the men have gone in. The quality of the air has deteriorated. We were concerned about what conditions that air would cause with an explosive atmosphere. Unfortunately, we have the worst scenarios.
This morning, rescuers were evacuated after tests showed an explosive gas mixture of the same type that is believed to have caused the explosion that killed 25 miners on Monday. Congressman Nick Rahal, a Democrat who represents the district where the mine is located, promises a full congressional investigation.
There will be investigations conducted as to what happened here. Was the mine safety laws that we passed after previous disasters, such as Sago and Aracoma, were they effective or not? I happen to believe there are parts of it that are effective and parts that maybe were not. And we'll have to find out exactly the cause of this blast and then take appropriate action.
As usual, it takes a disaster to focus broadcast media attention on the coal industry, the checkered history of the mine company Massey Energy, and its controversial CEO Don Blankenship. Federal records show serious safety violations doubled at the mine last year, coinciding with a jump in production, and two citations of the most serious kind were given in January of this year relating to the ventilation system. In fact, two new citations were issued on the day of the explosion, but a mine safety inspector said those particular citations were not related to the explosion. The New York Times reports on a disturbing new trend in the coal industry since those new safety regulations that Congressman Rahal referred to were passed by Congress in 2006 after the Sago mining accident. Mining companies now stall payment of fines from these safety violations through litigation and appeals, resulting in a backlog of 18,000 appeals and over $210 million in contested fines.
Does this draw up the point that it's not the safety regulations so much that are the concern, but the enforcement of those safety regulations?
It's partly enforcement. It's also partly delaying tactics from the mining industry to avoid accountability for the enforcement that is done.
And I'm guessing the previous administration, the Bush administration, did not go out of their way to enforce those laws.
Oh, there's quite a bit of really, really not good history on that. We have more links to that on our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship is a dedicated climate change denier and has used his fortune and his company coffers to influence legislation and elections in his favor. In 2004, he poured $3 million into a West Virginia state Supreme Court election, ensuring the election of his preferred candidate to the bench, who then ruled in his favor on a multi-million dollar case against the company. The U.S. Supreme Court later overturned that ruling, saying the judge should have recused himself. Don Blankenship is on the board of directors of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and is instrumental in the chamber's hostile stance to government regulation and climate change. In Brazil, over 150 people are dead and more are missing in the Brazilian city of Rio de Janeiro after intense storms dropped torrential rains this week, causing flooding and more than 180 landslides in the region. Another 200 people are believed dead when a mudslide washed away their hillside village in the region last night. Remember that wacky winter, the record-breaking snowstorms, and all over the news, especially in the nation's capital, and how the climate change denial industry and their friends in the media said this record snow was definitive proof that global warming was a hoax? Well, it's only the 1st of April, and already this week, the Northeast is seeing an unseasonable heat wave, breaking temperature records just 1 week after record rains and flooding.
We were able to get comment from Fox News and the global warming denialist industry on this record heat. Here it is. Yeah, that's what I thought. For much more on that, check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Two quick programming notes. We welcome aboard our new Dallas affiliate, rationalbroadcasting.com. Please go check them out. Also, tonight, again, I'll be guest hosting The Mike Malloy Show, and one of my guests will be the great Mother Jones environmentalist reporter, Kate Shepard. Hope you'll join us for that. Stop by MikeMalloy.com or Bradblog.com for air affiliates and live streaming online. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that was last night. Mother Jones, Kate Shepard, we had her on last night. I guess I should have edited that out. Anyway, that was our Green News Report, and you know, I wanted to play it because frankly none of this stuff gets the kind of media attention that it needs to. We talked a little bit last night about the fact that healthcare reform, if you thought the fight over healthcare reform was something, the real fight is over climate legislation. Am I wrong, Des? I mean, isn't that, this is where you got billions and billions of dollars that are being tossed in. This is where the U.S. Chamber of, I mean, I think that was just a warm-up for the fight over climate change legislation that will make healthcare look like a tea party.
Well, yeah, it's definitely going to be the fight of the century, I think. I'm not sure people are really quite prepared for just how many billions of dollars are involved in the industries that, you know, we have to acknowledge have built our country. You know, cheap energy is the engine of growth and has been the engine of growth since the 19th century. Although we do have the capacity now and the ability to move into 21st century clean energy, right now fossil fuels are what makes this country run. And, of course, there's also external costs that go along with that. But, you know, as long as it's
free to pollute. One of those external costs we just saw this week where we lost these 25 miners, maybe another four. You know, that's the real world cost. And what is it, three miners a day die from black lung
disease, yes, on average. And it's just one of the many externalities that come from burning dirty fossil fuels. It's not just in the deaths of people who work directly with these kinds of fuels, but it's also in the air pollution, the water pollution, the pollution of the soil. It's all kinds of things that these are external costs that, you know, I think it was the National Academy of Sciences last year estimated the external costs of fossil fuels in air pollution alone, healthcare costs and some of the environmental costs, is $120 billion a year. And that's not everything. That's just that one narrow area that they looked at that they estimated. And that's external cost for fossil fuels.
And the cost to national security, the fact that we've lost, you know, how many thousands of troops fighting over oil, for Christ's sake. I mean, we could be there. People haven't noticed, but there's this free energy that's coming down from the skies all the time. That nobody's tapping into, are they, for some odd reason?
Well, it's been very difficult to get that sort of funding together and get the kind of attention paid to clean energy when you have the entrenched interests that are allowed to pollute for free and have made billions of dollars. So naturally, they're going to want to hold on to that.
And not only made billions of dollars, we'll take a quick break, and I want to get the update on the Massey mine. And I know you had something else on, was it the regulations follow-up on yesterday's report? We'll get to after the break. But talking about the profits, $45 billion in profits by ExxonMobil last year in 2009. Of course, I don't mind that. They're welcome to have their profits, I guess. But how much did these great patriots pay in federal taxes last year on their $45 billion in profit? Are you sitting down? Because I don't think you get as good a tax rate as ExxonMobil does. $45 billion in profit. They paid $0 in federal taxes last year. Other than that, we need to save this economy and cut that corporate tax rate, don't we? Unbelievable. Brad on the Malloy Show with Desi Doyen, Bob Kincaid coming up, much more straight ahead.
It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things. And people tend to pass you over because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky.
Oh, Desi, you're flashy water and the sparkles in the water.
Oh, you're sweet to say so.
I am. Brad Friedman here for Mike Malloy with my co-host and the Green News Report managing editor, Desi Doyen. We're going to be joined by Bob Kincaid in a second to talk about this. This unbelievable jerk, Don Blankenship of Massey Energy, and what he has done out there, his opinions, his attitude, the safety violation. I mean, I'm just appalled by this guy. We got some tape. I mean, this is about accountability. By the way, in case you thought this was, you know, all green and crunchy, no. We're kicking ass and taking names here as well. Des, you had two pieces of follow-up here. You had the latest, at least from AP, on the mine disaster,
right,
where we are right now?
Just to be clear, the AP is reporting that the governor, West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin, says that by midnight, rescue teams will likely know the fate of the four missing miners inside the mine where the explosion left 25 dead. They've already reached one of the chambers. There were two that were
these
potential.
These are the safety
these
chambers.
These are the safe rescue chambers, and Bob Kincaid can set us straight on this for sure.
Yeah.
But I believe that those were not put in place until after 2006, the Sago mine disaster where there was no place for them to go and there wasn't enough oxygen to save them. So they have these rescue chambers. There were two in the area that they would potentially have been able to get to if they had survived the blast. One of those rescue chambers, it looks like, is empty. Therefore, there's only one other chance. And those rescue chambers are only, you know, required by law to have 4 days worth of oxygen and food and water in them. And so they are nearing the end of the time at which those rescue chambers would have helped them anyway.
And so he says, we'll know, Governor Manchin says, by tonight. He feels, because they haven't been able to get in there. They had to pump like four truckloads of nitrogen in there to keep the fire from blowing up again, basically.
Right. You know, and we're talking, they're about, I think it's a mile and a half to 2 miles inside the mine. So it takes a really, really, really long time for the rescuers to get there. And then when they test the air and they find out that it's explosive and all, then they have to back out. So.
And, okay, just we got to get to a break here shortly, and then we're going to go to Bob Kincaid out in West Virginia. But you had a quick follow-up on the regulations?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of different things. USA Today had a story today about how coal mining operators, you know, that they have all these fines. Well, what they've been doing since 2006 is they have been delaying the paying of those fines by appealing them. So it kind of puts a halt on any kind of action there so that, you know, the Mine Safety and Health Administration is allowed to shut down a mine for violations, but only, but not if it's an appeal. So they can keep going if they have a violation and appeal. They've only paid 7% of the fines they've received in the last 3 years. That's 113 million fines and major penalties that have not actually been paid because they're on appeal right now. Yeah. That's the majority of them.
And it looks like Massey Energy was able to come up with yet another trick. This was in the New York Times, and I hate to rely on the New York Times these days for anything, frankly. As some of you may know, they reported that the company was told, Massey Energy was told, that it could be cited for a pattern of violations, which would have allowed for stricter federal oversight of the mine. Yet, the mine escaped the stepped-up enforcement, even though it continued to amass violations, according to federal records, with some pretty clever tricks. Anything to avoid accountability. So we're going to cover that with Bob Kincaid in a bit after this break. And what was the other thing that I wanted to mention here about that? Oh, Obama. What Obama had to say. I know we don't have time. Okay. But we'll play when we come back. We need some accountability there, too. He was standing in the Rose Garden today supporting Massey Energy. And saying that the employees, that their employers care about safety. Really? Do they? I don't think the record shows as much. We will ask Bob Kincaid from Head On Radio Network out in West Virginia when we come back. Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy program. Stay with us. Much more.
They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Never scared. What? Is that you, Tony? I'm blaming Tony. The computer. Blame the computer. Yes, I am. Stuck in the middle with you. No place I would rather be here live on the Mike Malloy program. Live from the West Coast, broadcasting for one more night. Until the Malloys return. Next Monday, returning with Malloy Vision. I understand. If you know the Mike Malloy Show, if you're a real Mike head, you know what that means. Let's see. We are going to get to, at the top of the hour, we're going to try to get to your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Write it down. We'll try to open it up to anything you want to talk about. Another Ask Brad segment where you ask me anything you want and I answer it or I do not. But before we do, I want to get to this. George Bush knew that Guantanamo prisoners were innocent. He knew it. He didn't care. He didn't give a damn. 12-year-olds held without charges. 180 are still there. All right, we're going to talk about that in a second. So much accountability, so little time. I want to go out to Bob Kincaid because we're talking about this Massey mine disaster and their creep of a CEO, Don Blankenship. Bob Kincaid, of course, is the founder, the host, and founder of Head On Radio Network, quote, America's liberal voice. I didn't know we had one. That is headonradionetwork.com, otherwise known as Horn. Bob joins us tonight from his home, I believe his home, in West Virginia. Welcome to the Malloy Show, Mr. Kincaid.
Well, thank you very much, Brad. Yes, my humble home, such as it is, as well as the studio here in the hills.
I gotcha. Well, good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while. Boy, this is this must hit you guys hard out there in West Virginia. This Massey, this latest mine disaster.
Brad, I don't know if you can if a person can adequately give voice to the agony through which this entire state and, frankly, the Appalachian region has been dragged with this. This is and it's got that sick sensation of we've been here before and we're going to be here again.
Yeah, and you will be here again unless there's some kind of accountability for this company. I mean, this Massey Energy, this Don Blankenship. I've been looking at the, I've known about him. I've known about him on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I've known about him as one of these global warming denialists. But when you look back at some of the comments he's had to say, and you compare it, him talking about safety. Let me, Bob, let me play you this recent interview with Don Blankenship talking about safety regulations.
Are you concerned that the safety regulations or the safety factors in your industry, particularly through Massey, are being complied with?
Well, they're very difficult to comply with. There's so many of the laws that are, if you will, nonsensical from an engineering or a coal mining viewpoint. A lot of the politicians get emotional, as does the public, about the most recent accident, and it's easy to get laws on the books that are not truly helping the health or safety of coal miners. And I think we need to be very pragmatic and very careful when we're passing laws of that nature to make sure that we create as much safety and as much health as can be created for each of the resources we expend.
You feel you have a good safety record at Massey?
Well, it's been 19 of the last 20 years. It's been far better than the industry average. We've had very good success on the safety and the environmental side.
Okay. Thank you.
So nonsensical regulations, Bob. For we can only get so much safety for each of the resources we have to expend. You know, what do you think? You're out there in West Virginia. What do you think when you hear this guy Blankenship talking about? And I should be clear, this was prior to the most recent accident. He was talking about a different accident. So what are your thoughts when you hear him talking about, the cost efficiency of safety regulations, of nonsensical regulations?
Well, Brad, I've heard that clip about 15 times now, and I have to just bite my tongue to keep from screaming. You'll notice when he does that he expresses safety as a sort of algebraic function of resources expended.
Yeah.
In other words, the safety of miners and the safety of human beings and mining families is only another column in the tally sheet, in which the greatest factor is clearly profit.
Right. Yeah. And that's how they built. Everything it seems that he did out there, when he talks about our record is better than most. Desi, you were telling me, Desi Doyen, you were telling me that the company record was somehow better than most, but this mine?
This particular mine, yes. The Wall Street Journal reporting today, they said federal regulators released data Friday, today, showing that the mine was cited for violations involving control of methane and dust more often than the average underground coal mine, 11 times more often than the average underground coal mine. line. So, you know, they may have a company-wide safety record. Maybe that's what Blankenship is referring to. But in this mine, not so much.
Well, they apparently, Bob Kincaid, figured out how to, I don't know if you saw this story tonight in the New York Times, that Massey Energy, you know, figured out they would get all of these warnings, and you get them up to a certain level, and if you can answer the violations, then you don't get the stepped up enforcement. They figured out a way to avoid the stepped up enforcement. This from a company that had more than 3,000 safety violations since 1995.
Brad, this is clearly abuse of process. This is an administrative legal process that was not designed to operate this way. But because Massey has a small army of lawyers on retainer, this is how they've figured out to keep running coal, as Don likes to say, without dealing with their safety issues. You know, just a little bit of background for folks. I don't know if they know, but these are staggering numbers. The numbers that Des mentioned about the numbers of fines, unpaid violations, et cetera, we all know that one of the reasons the rescue teams haven't been able to get in is because of the buildup of methane gas.
Right.
Governor Manchin, Joe Manchin, described the rails for the man-trip cars and so forth inside the mine being twisted like pretzels. Imagine the force of an explosion like that and what would have to be present in order to make that happen. Well, what has to be present there is the ugly reality inside this particular mine. And get your mind around this. This thing generates, releases, 2 million cubic yards of methane gas in any given 24-hour cycle. Under those circumstances, I don't care what Don says about engineering and mining regulations. You know, that's almost impossible to deal with.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you get one cleared, you got another 2 million on top of you. Now, what rational person doesn't think that sooner or later there's going to be a disaster? What's really important here, I think, Brad, is to note that this horror, this little set piece in the Appalachian apocalypse, it has exposed the entire nightmare cycle of coal from its extraction all the way to its ultimate consumption. You know, you mentioned the science study a little bit ago. The American Lung Association has estimated that 24,000 American citizens die directly related to the burning of coal for electricity in this country every year.
How many? How many die?
24,000.
24,000.
And that's just from coal.
Oh, from
that's
just the burning
just
of coal.
Coal.
Yeah.
Here in West Virginia, a brilliant researcher by the name of Dr. Michael Hendricks has done some economic calculations about what coal means to West Virginia, because we are constantly bombarded with coal keeps the lights on, coal is your friend, coal is the only economic hope that West Virginians can ever have. Well, Michael Hendricks put paid to that a few months ago. It costs, for every dollar that coal brings to the state of West Virginia, the state of West Virginia pays out $5.
Pays.
Some bargain, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
The New York Times says that a statement on the company's website says that the company does not condone any violations of mine safety and health administration regulations, and we strive to be in compliance with all regulations at all times. Some mine experts said that the failure to declare a pattern of violations was, however, a missed opportunity had they declared a pattern of violation. Now, it seems to me you got a pattern when you got 3,000 violations.
Well, not only but you know what? There's probably, remember, that stuff was written by legal weasels. And what that means, you know, I don't disagree.
No, this wasn't the company. This wasn't the company saying that it was a missed opportunity. This is the Times saying that mine experts are saying that it was a failure. Had they declared a pattern of violations, then they could have stepped up enforcement.
Right,
they could have closed the mines.
That,
okay.
But this idea that they didn't that Massey didn't condone it. Mm-hmm. You know what? You have to pay attention to it to condone it.
And they weren't paying attention?
Oh, no. You know, this one of the miners who is dead now had been sent home at 3 o'clock early in his shift a couple of weeks before because methane levels had gone through the roof again.
Officials of the Mine Safety Agency said they were bound by the current regulations, which require them to issue warning letters, and that if companies successfully reduce their rate of violations by 30%, they are not to be found to have a pattern of violations. The officials added that before this week's explosion, they were considering tightening the regulations. Now, companies, it goes on to say, just two more graphs here. Companies can escape the added oversight even if they continue to be worse than the national average. The warning letter to the Upper Big Branch mine, for instance, said that the mine had been issued serious violations at a rate nearly twice the national average over the previous 2 years. 3 months later, the mine cut the rate to just above the national average, and that was enough of a reduction to avoid being labeled a pattern of violations. And then in March of 2008, a letter was sent to them that a pattern of violations did not exist at the mine, and so the agency, this is the federal agency, wrote, quote, "Congratulations on your achievements."
Wow.
And here's a Laurel and Hardy handshake. I know.
Yeah,
it is amazing to read that sort of bureaucratic speak. And Brad, I have spent a lot of time scratching my head and wondering how we solve this. And in a way, I think I've got the front end of a solution.
Yeah,
because we're going to hear a lot in Congress and a lot in the press about addressing miner safety issues. You know what? It's pretty clear from reading all the articles that had these basic regulations been followed to their logical conclusion and not been tormented by the administrative appeal process, it's likely this wouldn't have happened. I think it's also equally likely this would not have happened had it been a union mine. But beyond all of that, I heard the story the other day about the diplomat smoking a cigarette in the airplane, and there was an air marshal there who, for legal purposes, was God Almighty on that aircraft. Okay?
Yeah.
I would argue that I think the real solution to this, any proposed solution, safety solution or whatever, that allows this current administrative nightmare to persist is going to result in another one of these down the road. It just is. What we need inside these mines are badge-carrying mine marshals.
Yeah.
And they need to have the absolutely God-almighty authority to say, everybody out. Shut it down. Not a word.
And they used to. All right, we're talking with Bob Kincaid. Beck Moore talking about the Massey Energy disaster that is Don Blankenship. You can keep this rolling, my friend. We got it. There we go. Yeah. Back with more on The Molloy Show right after this. Brad Friedman back on the Mike Molloy Show with my friend Bob Kincaid of the Head On Radio Network. He's out in West Virginia. We're talking about not just this coal mine explosion in Montcoal, West Virginia, but about the disaster that is the CEO of Massey Energy, Don Blankenship, who has, for my money, Bob Kincaid. This guy is one of the just one of the worst. Here's a montage that our friend Tom Hartman put together, Bob. Just a minute long here. Just some of the comments from this creep. Go ahead, Tony.
Let me be clear about it. Al Gore Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, they don't know what they're talking about. They're totally wrong. What they do is nonsense. Pretty simple. They're all crazy. I mean, it is absolutely crazy.
Unions, communities, people, everybody's going to have to learn to accept that in the United States you have a capitalist society, and that capitalism, from a business viewpoint, is survival of the most productive.
You go from having your own car to carpooling to, you know, riding the bus to riding mass transit, and you eventually get down to where you're walking. And your apartments go from being nice apartments and homes with your own bathroom to sharing bathrooms and kitchens with four families. That's what socialism and the elimination of capitalism and free enterprise is all about. I don't believe climate change is real.
Bob, so he's talking about Nancy Pelosi and Al Gore being insane. They're crazy. And then he says stuff like, you know, capitalism is survival of the most productive, which it is. But this guy, what do you think when you hear this guy? I mean, he's just despicable. Am I wrong?
He's a psychopath.
He's a psychopath?
Yeah, really.
You know him. You know the way he runs these companies.
A good friend of mine over on the Horn, who is a psychotherapist, just sent me the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, fourth edition, criteria for antisocial personality disorder. You only have to meet three of them to qualify. This guy met five.
I don't doubt it. I can't believe some of these statements, and that there is no whole accountability for this guy. I hope somebody holds him accountable, but I'll tell you, he's sitting on the board of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Now that we have the Citizens United decision, these guys can put as much corporate money into any damn campaign they want, for or against any candidate they want. And guys
Brad, don't think that he doesn't know that. He has all. You remember the story of him swanning around the Riviera with one of his Supreme Court judge buddies?
No, I don't. But I'm glad to know that. Yeah, he's hanging out with these guys.
He got caught.
Yeah.
With a multi-million dollar case before the West Virginia Supreme Court. He got caught swanning around the French Riviera with one of the justices, who happened to be a buddy of his from Mingo County.
You know,
a guy by the name of Spike Maynard. Well, Spike got caught out on his tuchus in the next election, and
right.
Now Don has anointed him as the Republican nominee for the third congressional district seat, presently held by 15 or 18 term Democratic congressman, my congressman Nick Joe Rahal, and frankly, Cole has never had a better friend than Nick Rahal.
And they could put unlimited money into these guys, into these campaigns, and yeah, I do remember that story. That guy, unbelievable. Listen, I got to get to a break. And by the way, Obama made a statement in the Rose Garden today that the government and their employer know that they owe it to these employees' families to do everything possible to ensure their safety. Their employer knows that? Wake up, Obama. Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio Network, thanks for singing it and fighting the good fight out there. I wanted to talk about mountaintop removal, but we're going to have to do it next time. Thanks, Bob.
I understand. Anytime, Brad.
Thanks. You bet. Bob's over in the chat room at bradblog.com. If you got further questions, you can hit him over there at bradblog.com. You're listening to The Molloy Show. Your calls ahead, 877-520-1150. Back after this.